This is War Room Moments, the show that takes you around the world to share interviews with some of the most successful and most relevant people on the planet, hear their stories, and get the most important business lessons they have learned on their road to success, and get exclusive advice on how to implement their success into your life and business. War Room Moments is brought to you by the Strategic Advisor Board. Here's your host, Jason Miller.
All right. Welcome to the War Room, ladies and gentlemen. I got a special treat for you today, Mr. Lee Steinberg. Your name supersedes itself, obviously. Most people know who you are. Famous for many things, but other than sports, not just sports, famous for many things. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I don't think a huge introduction is necessarily required here. Obviously, you are pretty much the premier sports agent of the world, and most people know that. And also, Jerry Maguire, the movie Jerry Maguire, amazing thing. I know you're very philanthropical in the things that you do. You help people all the time. And just amazing. And you know what, if you had to boil yourself down, Lee, to a thing, what would that superpower be that you think you have?
I think it's the ability to listen and call out another human being. Everyone thinks the key in life is suasion in what you say. Mm-hmm. But if you can create an atmosphere of trust around another human being, and get them to share their deepest anxieties and fears and their greatest hopes and dreams. If you can peel back the layers of the onion so you get deeper and deeper past surface responses, but you keep going to the core of what motivates another human being, you can navigate your way through life gracefully. So how does the other person feel about short-term economic gain, long-term economic security, geographical location, spiritual values, high-profile endorsements, or if you happen to be an athlete, wanting to be a starter and on a winning team and the quality of coaching. If you can uniquely understand what the other person is aspiring to be and do, at a deep level, then it allows you to help fulfill other people. And it will help someone in recruiting, contract negotiations, being able to nurture and support other people.
Yeah. Relationships, right? Yeah. It seems like there's a little lost art in some of that nowadays.
And it's never been easier to network because of social media.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone in our audience who's aspiring to succeed can distinguish themselves by putting together the right website, the right content, and then go on something like LinkedIn and hit every single person. If you want to be in sports or entertainment, hit every single coach, general manager, television figure. The worst they can do is not accept your request. I once talked to the brightest salesman I ever knew and asked him what his key to success was, and he said, "I don't fear rejection."
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a willingness to keep planting seeds and be kind to your future self by planting the little seeds today that may not come rapidly, but eventually will come to fruition, so that you're the beneficiary today of relationships and work you did some years ago.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, and I've always said, at the end of the day, if you don't ask, the answer is automatically no. So, hey, whip a charm out there. I mean, what's the worst thing that happens? No. Well, then go on to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. I mean, look at some of the most successful people in the world. I mean, if they would have accepted no every single time, they would never be where they are today, right?
Well, more than that, if you think about it, life will hand all of us reverses. Mm. There are going to be setbacks. It's inevitable. And if you're not having any, you're probably not trying or being aggressive enough. And the question is not whether or not you'll be frustrated at times, or worse, have your dreams broken a little bit. But the question then is, can you come back? Mm-hmm. Can you rise again? And can you learn from whatever the negative experience was, life lessons that help you in reemerging?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's so many. I mean, I don't like the word failure. I like the word lessons, right? I mean, we all go through lessons in life, and it's just a part of it. And I think there is a little bit of people get comfortable, right? And, you know, I know you've been through it many times over in your career of that. I assume life wasn't easy for you always. If you're here now, I'm pretty sure you've went through some life lessons for sure. So.
Sure. Absolutely. So, yeah. So I lived a pretty charmed life. You know, we did a firm in football that had 64 first round draft picks, and the very first pick in the first round 8 different years, and 12 players in the Hall of Fame, and a big baseball practice, basketball, and mm-hmm. wrote some best-selling books and all that. But I did hit a period where I started to abuse alcohol, and mm-hmm. I had to do a reset and start over again. So I've been continuously sober for 14 years, but I found, and if anyone's out there and suffering, despondent, depressed because of problems with addictive substances, just know there's help, and you don't have to do it alone. And there are 12-step programs with unique fellowships that can help you. And even though it's difficult to see light at the end of the tunnel now, you can find it.
Yeah. And you know what? I got to tell you, Lee, that's amazing to share that way, like you do. And that's inspiring. It really is, because life is just, it's full of them landmines, right? And not everybody is so forthcoming. And I applaud you for that, of being so forthcoming.
You know, I had a father who brought me up with two core values. One was, besides spiritual, mm-hmm. one was treasure relationships, especially family. And the second was try to make a meaningful difference in the world in a positive way, and help people who can't help themselves, try to heal pain. So by sharing the reality of what we've lived through, the only hope is that you help someone who's still suffering.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true. You know, I spent 23 years in the military, and it's always been about service, right? Serving other people. And, you know, I contribute most of my success for that attitude that my father taught me. And, you know, now, you know, post-military, almost a decade and 18 companies, is a lot of lessons learned in that. A ton of failures, lots of successes, all those things. And I've fought post-traumatic stress for years, right? And because of lots and lots of combat tours and lots of crazy stuff, but but I use that as a fuel to drive me to success. So, and I think you gotta find those things that do that for you, right?
Well, but when it comes to the military, I'm grateful every day for the fact that we've got those brave soldiers out there in a hostile world, giving of themselves. And I didn't fight in a war, but I've got the blessing. It was Vietnam in my day, but I've got all the blessings of freedom. And these are the people that we rely on to keep us safe. And yeah, it's disgraceful that we don't treat them better when they come home.
Yeah, for sure. I want to do a little clock rewind, Lee. And, you know, in your family background, was entrepreneurship in your family background, or did you bust those chains open?
No, I came out of an education family, and my father wanted to teach kids. My grandfather was a restaurateur who ran a place at the end called Hillcrest Country Club. So the a bunch of old comedians, George Burns and Jack Benny and Groucho Marx, sort of were around me when I was a kid. But my father prized education. But I've always been entrepreneurial. So, for example, right now, I'm trying to work with new healing modalities because we have breakthroughs in biomed. They can even help with things like PTSD, and it's hyperbaric oxygen, it's stem cells, it's red, white, and blue light. It's and they even have some new breakthroughs. You probably know I've been fighting on the issue of concussion for many years. And they're now, for the first time through the theory of neuroplasticity, healing protocols that can bring back a concussed brain. And it's always been an issue. Now, the closest two socioeconomic groups I can find, except for how they're paid, are the military and professional athletes. So a football team, same dynamic, band of brothers, they denial about physical health, think short term. Somebody else is watching your back, and you grow so close to each other. But I think the key in all this is vision. It's to see where the world is going. It's to understand the fundamental changes, and that gives you opportunity. So we created a company years ago called Athlete Direct, where we put athletes on the internet for the first time. So we signed Michael Jordan, Ken Griffey Jr., who back in 2000 were the dominant players, and they wrote diaries, and they talked about their charitable foundation, e-commerce application. So we put some R&D money into it and then sold it for a big multiple some years later. So, but I believe health and wellness for athletic teams, for the Army, for military, are the wave of the future, and we won't even recognize preventive medicine. So we all have a chance to live a long time. I just used a new product called Bimini that oxygenates water. So you get it through there, and it fights inflammation, fights aging. So it's all good stuff.
Yeah. Well, I even take your average, smaller mid-sized business owner, right? Not a big corporation, just your owner controlled company where the CEO or the, whatever title they want to give themselves runs the company. And what typically happens? They burn out, right? It's all of a lot of the same signs and symptoms that you see with the military, with, you know, with sports, all those things. I work with hundreds of clients, and, you know, they hit that burnout all the time because they don't take care of themselves, or, you know, their way to deal with stress is to drink or whatever, pick a bad habit, right? Whatever it is. And they don't exercise and they don't do all these things. And that's an educational process that, you know, as I see this conversation developing, that, you know, you're a pretty big part of, and that's a pretty big need right now for sure.
Well, for PTSD, there's a really good therapy called EMDR, which is rapid eye movements. And the theory is that if you've had real trauma in your background, that it will trigger similar situations. So you react the same way inappropriately with something that feels like whatever the trauma or threat was. And but this EMDR that uses rapid eye movements unlocks it. And so what happens at the end of it is you can still remember the traumatic event, but it doesn't carry the emotional charge of it.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's manageable. It's not, you don't revert back to the defensive behavior every time. But I think one of the keys is that when you talk about CEOs, they come to the point where they believe that their skill set's so superior that they're integral to every single function of that business. And the point is, you can make the argument that you could do everything better than training a younger person to do it. But the end of that story is you will do everything, and it gives you an unmanageable lifestyle. So I've been really careful in the world to figure out what am I irreplaceable for and what can someone else do as well as better. And then giving them the growth space to understand what our policies and concepts are. And then work it out on their own. So mm-hmm. you don't hover on, over the younger person. You don't micromanage them. You give them a chance to grow. And so if I do this right, I'm not some big figure surrounded by pygmies. I got superstars everywhere in our organization. That will allow you to really grow. If you keep taking on every task and responsibility yourself, you can never grow because people will only accept that figure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great piece of advice just on its own right there. I mean, I always go back to the military, and, you know, you have those tactical tasks and visionary tasks, and a lot of business owners, they get so stuck on operating tactically that they forget to build strategy for their business, right? They forget to focus on what's important too.
So what happens is if you run a business, there are emergencies every day. There's this client who you could sell and this, and you can go on and on and on without ever looking at the structure of your business, whether you're doing it the most efficient way. And you can have months or years go by and you're struggling, but you never fix the problem because mm-hmm. you focus on, am I going to take some time to think about our structure, or am I going to take this client who I can close today, right? Am I going to do this deal? You can't turn that down. But you have to take a step back and look at the structure of what you're doing and whether or not it's on a solid foundation.
Yeah, for sure. No doubt about that. Well, you know, it's on that same vein. There are a lot of little value points in what we talked about up to this point, But for our hard heads, Lee, if you could give, you know, out of your vast experience of, you know, what, 4 decades of business, you know, 5 decades of business, you know, I mean, that's a lot of experience. If you could give 2 or 3 mainstay piece of advice that you've learned through those 50 years, what would they be?
Well, the first thing is to do an internal inventory. To clarify to yourself whether, again, it's short-term economics, long-term economic security, whether it's the corner office, whether it's doing something you believe in, whether it's making a difference, whether it's recognition, autonomy. Figure out what are the things in life that you aspire to do and prioritize them. Second of all, make a realistic look at your skill set and understand where you provide unique value in the world. Not modular, not fungible, not replaceable, but what can you do and what can you supply that's better than other people? And then lastly, like I said, listening skills. In a competitive economic system, can you distinguish yourself? And people can do that by becoming experts on some niche and writing, so that when people want to get into sports, I say, well, write an article on NIL, or write an article on the explosion of women's basketball this week, or write an article on something. And all of a sudden, you become an expert. So it's possible to find, in whatever field it is, something to express an opinion on and write on, and start to make yourself the center of some activity and action. And then lastly, if you're looking for something in the world, tell every single friend you have that that's what you're looking for. You'd be amazed if you keep telling people over and over in a pretty precise way what it is that your aspirations are. Something will come back. Some opportunity will come back. Someone will take that. And lastly, network. Establish relationships. All over whatever field it is that you aspire to.
Yeah. Great advice there for sure. And you know, I would be remiss. I got a lot of people ask me, you know, can you ask Lee what the funnest part of being a sports agent has been for you?
It's the exhilaration of the moment. It's riding back in a limo with Troy Aikman after he won his first Super Bowl, and asking him, do you know what just happened? He said, well, sure, I won a football game. I said, no, you entered the stage, Troy Aikman, good quarterback, and now you're Troy Aikman, superstar.
Yeah.
Or it's Steve Young sitting behind Joe Montana forever, and then he wins the Super Bowl, throws 6 touchdown passes, his MVP, and I get down on the field, and he's been in the shadow of Joe Montana. And he says, the monkey's off my back. The monkey's off my back.
awesome.
You know, we're watching Patrick Mahomes win his first Super Bowl, but I think the highlight in some ways is looking at the community and charitable programs that our athletes do, because we ask all of them to retrace their roots to the high school, collegiate, and professional community and set up charitable and philanthropic programs and be role models. So probably the highest point of my career was that I had been with the quarterback Warren Moon through 6 years of Canada and 17 years in the NFL. And when he was voted into the Hall of Fame, he asked me to be his presenting speaker, so to introduce him. And Warren had been a remarkable role model. He had done a high school scholarship fund, a college scholarship fund, and his Crescent Moon Foundation sent loads of kids to loads and loads of young people to college on his scholarships. And he was the first African-American quarterback in the modern era to be inducted in the Hall of Fame. And standing on that stage in Canton with him was touched my heart. Jerry Maguire was obviously fun. writing the books I've written is fun, and book tour is fun. But it's the chair. It's what the athletes have given that has enduring value that I'm most proud of.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, you've had a very amazing career, no doubt about that. A lot of proud moments, I'm sure. And kind of leads me into, you know, in your mind, Lee, if you could have had anyone here today with us, any point in time of the world, dead or alive, doesn't matter, who would you love to have here and just been a part of this conversation with us today?
So we have the ability to reincarnate someone?
Absolutely.
it probably would be Martin Luther King. Because everything I've tried to do in life has to do with making a positive difference. And he navigated a very difficult time in a nonviolent way in a violent world. And inspired millions of people and all made us a better country, so that there's wisdom that he has and takes on people that I think would be inspiring.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, because it was just a month and a half ago, I got to hold page 3 that he held of his I Have a Dream speech.
Wow.
That's and it was just surreal to hold it, right? And it was just very cool. That's another story. But yeah, I mean, and just an amazing human, right? To just go up against the fight and fight the fight. But that's, we need more of that today. People that are willing to fight the fight, and, you know, but great, great choice for sure. But anyway, Lee, I want to be respectful of your time. And I always say this to kind of close the show, and that's, we all have the same 168 hours a week. Thanks for stopping by here for 34 and spending a little time with me in the war room. And, man, it's great, great having you here.
My pleasure. You do a great show, and continued success with the War Room.
Yeah, awesome.
Thanks for listening to War Room Moments with your host, Jason Miller. Please leave your feedback and visit strategicadvisorboard.com to get the latest and greatest business advisement on the planet. Follow us on social media for updates, and we'll see you on the next episode.